Well, good morning. It is wonderful to be gathered in the house of the Lord, to be able to receive from Him and to return praise and thanks for all that He has done for us, my friends, this morning. He is risen. That was more enthusiasm than I got on Easter. That is epic. Outstanding. Anyway, very good. Well, every Sunday is a celebration of Easter. We don't want to ever forget that. Even though we're two Sundays away from Easter already, we are still celebrating. And that new life that Jesus started with His resurrection is the new life that we get to live as well. And we don't want to forget that either. That this life that we live is, we live in Him. We live for Him. It belongs to Him, and we want to honor Him with everything we do. So my friends, let us remember the day that we were brought into the family of God, made His child, and when He became our God, in the day that we were baptized, and we remember the name that was spoken over us on that day, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You today. We thank You so much that You have made it possible for us, Lord, to have a relationship with You, that You have died and rose again, Lord, so that our sins have been put to death and that we are given new life in You. Lord, we look forward to living out our life, this new life, Lord, in a way that brings You honor and glory. And Lord, we know that we fall short all the time, and we thank You that, Lord, that we are able to come into Your presence, receive Your forgiveness of sins, Your strength, Lord, that all that we need for life and salvation. And Lord, we pray that You would send Your Spirit this morning to build us up, to shore us up, to once again reinvigorate us, Lord, so that we can live out our lives for You. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us stand as we confess our sins and receive absolution. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve Your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways, to the glory of Your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing praise to this God who is so amazing, who has given us forgiveness.
You came from heaven. Each month, we feature a hymn. And this month, our hymn is Blessed Assurance. Our focus this week is on the third verse. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Our assurance is the foundation for our hope of heaven. Because Christ calls us to submit to Him, we become in Christ and receive the assurance that God gives, the promise of eternal life. Therefore, those who are in Christ can be watching and waiting, looking above for the hope that God has promised.
Yeah. Good morning. What a wonderful Savior. My name is Mike Kennedy. I'd like to welcome you all to St. Mark's if you're a visitor, if you're regular or irregular. First reading is from the epistle from John. It's on page 1737 in your pew Bible. I encourage you to follow along, and I pray that you're blessed through the reading. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mike. It is now time for the children's message. And so, children of God, that's the little ones, not all of you. But the little children, if you want to come forward at this time, Denise Kasten has the message for us this morning.
Okay, you guys, so I need you to sit on that bottom level right there because I'm going to show you something today, and I want you to all be able to see it. Pop down there. There you go. Pop down. Sawyer, there you go. Okay, are you ready? I have something to show you. Okay? I've been thinking about this all week because I have a story to tell you. Remember last week we were here, and what happened? Jesus was on the cross, but he died, and then they took him to a place and they wrapped him up, but they came back the next day, and what happened? He was gone, wasn't he? He was risen. He was gone. So the disciples were confused by that. He was gone, and they went to a room. They were kind of scared. They didn't know what to think because there might be some bad people that would do what? Come after them, right? So as I was thinking about this story, I went through my ideas, and I thought, I'm going to bring this and show you. A breakable egg. How many of you believe that's an egg? Do you believe it's an egg? It looks like an egg, because in your young life, you know this is an egg. And if I break it, what's going to be inside?
Jesus.
Not Jesus. Almost. So what's inside my egg? A yolk. That's right. What else? Some other stuff. And it's raw. It's a raw egg. Do you believe me? All right. I'm going to prove it to you, okay? There it is.
No, go put that on the stove.
And I want you to see that. I think I'll have that for my lunch, maybe. I don't know. So there's that. But I have something else. I have some more eggs. I know. There's more in there. Do you believe me? Raise your hand if you believe me there's more eggs. Thank you. And
I can only believe you if I weigh it.
Only if you weigh it?
Yes.
Sometimes people say, I can only believe you if I see it, right?
Yes.
You can't see it. So you have to trust me and believe me. And as long as you've known me, which is about 1 minute, some of you, you know that I've never lied to you, right?
Yeah.
Have I ever lied to you?
No.
No? No.
Parents will never do that.
There's eggs in there. Okay? Lots of eggs. But I'm going to tell you something else first. So let me put those right there 1 second. And then let me get... Uh-oh. What happened? Ooh, I sat on the eggs. It feels like eggs. There's no eggs? Well, there's nothing running out, is there? Well, even though I've never lied to you so far, do you believe me now there's eggs in here?
No.
You don't? But there's eggs. I promise.
There's broken eggs.
I saw them before I put them in here. Oh, there's broken eggs? I don't know. It doesn't feel like eggs. But I know there's eggs. I know I put them in here. Should I show you?
I know what it is.
What is it?
More towel.
Another towel with an egg. Did I lie? No.
They're Easter eggs.
They're eggs. But they're different than this kind of egg, right?
Yeah.
But they're still eggs.
No, they're not.
They're eggs. They're Easter eggs.
They're
chocolate. So?
Chocolate eggs.
So they don't look exactly the same. They're a little different. They're a lot different because I sat on them and they didn't crush. But they're still eggs. So guess what? I have to tell you about some friends. There's some friends from the Bible. And this is what Pastor Bob is going to talk about today. So when Jesus, remember, he came into that room. His friends were there.
And they had walked up.
And his friends said, oh, it's you. It's Jesus. And he goes, yep, it's me. But guess what? He looked different. He didn't look like he looked on the cross. He didn't look like he did when the ladies were at the tomb and he walked up like a gardener and he had a different look, right? He looked different. He was a regular guy. We're assuming he had clothes on, right? But he showed them the marks on his hands. So he's different. Now he has scars here and he has a scar here. Remember the soldiers stabbed him with a spear and they hung him on the cross. So he said, nope, see, it's me. Jesus, here it is. Showed him everything, and they believed him. And they were amazed. Oh, it's really you. Jesus is really you. But guess what? A friend was missing. So they left, and they went and told a friend, and his name is Thomas. And they said, Thomas, you won't believe it. Jesus came, and he had a scar here, and he had a scar here. And we talked to him, and he was like, really there. And Thomas, you know what he said? I'll believe it when I see it. You know what Missouri is? The show me state? Yep. Show me. They want to know. So the disciples said, well, seriously, trust me. Like, I know. We saw him. Just like I told you these were eggs, right? We promise he's there. So still Thomas said, unless I see his scars, I will not believe. Right? So 8 days later, they're all in the room together. This time Thomas is there. Jesus shows up. Boom. Hey, Thomas, here I am. Here's the scars. He touched him. Here's this scar. He touched him. And Thomas said, ah, now I believe. Now I believe. But guess what Jesus said? He said this, and this is what Pastor Bob's going to talk about today. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and believed. Have you seen Jesus' scars yet in person?
No.
Nope. Do you believe that Jesus is real?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you do. Why do you believe that, though? You have your moms, dads, and families to tell you about Jesus. You have Pastor Bob in Sunday school. You have me. And when you grow and you're bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, guess what might happen? You will. You'll be on your own. And you might say, I wonder if there's really a Jesus. some bad stuff is happening to me. I don't even know if Jesus is real. And so you can come back to the people, all these people in this church who love you, and Pastor Bob and me and your moms and dads, and you can say, I'm really having a hard time right now. I can't really see Jesus. Is he real? And then you can do this. Open the Bible, right? The Bible tells us all about the real Jesus. So here's the final thing. Jesus forgave Thomas for not believing. He loved him anyway. He forgave him.
He loves everybody.
And if we're not sure about Jesus, he's going to forgive us too, okay? Because we all have doubts. Thomas gets a bad rap, kind of. We talk about him, doubting Thomas. What's his problem? We doubt too. And so when we doubt, Jesus still loves us. He still cares about us. He forgives us. And guess what? Even if you get to some time in your life where you don't believe in Jesus, Jesus always believes in you. Okay? So in the last verse it says, many other miracles of Jesus were recorded in the Bible, but these are written so you may believe Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. So this book will help you believe. Those people will help you believe. I will, Pastor Bob, your parents, your families. We will all help you believe. And because you are such awesome kids and you listen so well, I mean, I don't need all these chocolate eggs, do I? Sawyer says no. Now, you have to ask your mom and dad if you can have them, right? Oh, I'd get very sick and have to go to the doctor if I ate all these. Oh, wait. There you go. Hold on. Did you? Okay. Oh, they do not have peanuts. Thanks for asking. No, they do not. There you go. Look at this. And guess what? These were the last three bags of chocolate Easter eggs in Eureka yesterday.
Thank you, Denise. If anybody would like to go to Little Worship, 4-year-old through 4th grade, please do so. And the other thing is a note, don't put the chocolate eggs in your pocket to eat later. Not that I've ever done that, but it doesn't work out. All right, very good. All right, my friends, let us begin our time together, opening our Father's Word and reading what he has to say to us. The sermon text is John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he'd heard this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So, there's a lot in that text. You know, when it was, you're given a text like that to preach on, you just have to, like, select something because there's just way too much in there. We got the whole Thomas thing. We have the whole the disciples hiding in the upper room thing. We've got the whole, your sins are forgiven thing, and I'm going to focus on that part. You know, here's the thing. I've been a pastor for a few trips around the sun these days, and the doctors will tell you that about, 95% of their patients who come in have the same problems over and over again. There's probably like five or six things that most everybody has. You know, it's like sinus infections and pneumonia and, the flu and a cold. And I mean, there's just these really super common things. And, that happens with pastors too, is that I get asked lots and lots of different questions. Been a pastor for 21 years. And you know what? One of the questions that I'm asked over and over again is about this very thing. We get to a certain part in the worship service. In fact, it happened on Monday night worship service probably about 2 months ago. We got at the very beginning of the service, and people confessed their sins, and I turned around and I said, "Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And I just watched the guy just, who are you to forgive sins, right? I mean, what a bizarre thing to do. I mean, this is what it says, Luther's Catechism, right? This is the book that we all kind of go by, and it says, what is confession? Confession embraces two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. Well, those are some pretty big words, right? I mean, who is this pastor anyway that he figures that he can forgive sins? You know what? This is a question that's been asked more than once throughout history. Remember, Jesus was teaching, and he was in this really, really crowded house. All the people were pressing in, and there was even people in the door and people in the street, like listening at the windows, trying to hear what Jesus was saying. And there was a guy who couldn't walk, and his friends were carrying him around on this like pallet, and they couldn't figure out how to get him to Jesus. And so they opened up a hole in the ceiling and dropped the guy down in front of Jesus. Probably on somebody's head, right? I mean, if the place was that crowded, it couldn't be good. But nevertheless, they dropped the guy down in front of Jesus, and what was Jesus' first thing? First thing Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." And what was the reaction of the crowd? You can't forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. Is that true? Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, how could we as people set right a relationship between a sinful person and God? I mean, that's what we're talking about doing. Remember, the whole thing starts in the Garden of Eden, right? Where God and people got along perfectly. God would come and they'd walk in the garden and talk to each other, and all the questions were answered. It was an amazing time. And then man fell into sin, and ever since then, God has been working to set things right. And it was that sin that damaged the relationship between his people and God, and that the people had to be removed from the garden lest they eat from the tree of life, that they had to, that something had to be done to restore that relationship. And so we're figuring, like, we have the ability to do that. We're just going to walk in and forgive somebody's sins and set everything right. That's a lot to say, isn't it? And the fact is that I think there's several different interpretations of this, that some people would say, well, that's basically some religion trying to impose power over people. Because if you can be the one that either gives forgiveness or keeps forgiveness, you can keep power and control over how people act and what people say. You think that ever happened in God's church? Unfortunately, it did happen. It's called sacerdotalism. And it's the whole idea that the church was truly trying to use salvation, the forgiveness of sins, to control. Yeah, not good. Absolutely not God's intention at all. What it is, however, is that God gives this gift, And it's an amazing gift, you know, that Jesus in the upper room with his disciples. And you know what? When Jesus was during this period of his ministry, when Jesus was like right before he died and then right after he died and right before he ascended into heaven, right after he rose and right before he ascended into heaven, Jesus came down, and almost every time he appeared to the disciples, he dropped some humongous truth on them, something that was going to be massively important for the future of the church. You know, I mean, he says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. Is that kind of a big deal? Yeah. I mean, Jesus prayed for his disciples and then prayed for us. You think that's kind of a big deal? And then Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Is that kind of a big deal? Well, here's another big deal. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Well, now we have to ask the question, did Jesus have the authority to give that away? Well, I mean, let's look, right? I mean, we look in the Bible, and we look at that time when the man came down and plopped right in front of Jesus in the middle of all these people, and Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are... And when the Pharisees complained and said, how can you forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Jesus says, tell me, what's harder? Me to forgive, say your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? And what did Jesus do? He healed the guy. The guy got up and walked. Yeah, that would make an impact. The thing is Jesus capable of forgiving sins? Yes. And is it okay for Jesus as God to speak through his people to announce the forgiveness of sins to each other? Is it kind of important that we do so? I mean, here's the thing. Anybody here sin? Anybody here feel really bad about sinning? I mean, anybody like every once in a while just be so mad at yourself because you're fighting this sin and fighting this sin and fighting this sin, and just when you think you might have it beat, it comes back and beats you? And you're just tormented on the inside, frustrated, like, why can't I just stop this? With everything God has done for me, why can't I do this thing for him? Why can't I do this right? Why do I keep on sinning? And what does my sin say about me? Who am I? What is my value? And all of a sudden, we start going down some really dark roads, don't we? Because instead of attaching our value and our identity to Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and the new life that we receive from him through the resurrection, we start attaching our value, who we are, to something that we do. And anytime we do that, we're going to go someplace really dark really fast. Because when we start interpreting our value according to what we do, we fail. That's what we do. We break God's law. We fall short. We are weak. And God knows how hard it is to live as Christians in this world. He knows how easy it is to take our eyes off of him and his life for us, his death, his sacrifice, the new life, the forgiveness, the adoption that we receive from Jesus. It's so easy to take our eyes off of that and to fixate instead on whatever struggle that we are having in our life. And God doesn't want us to have no recourse. He doesn't want us to be without something that is going to turn us around and redirect our thoughts to the thing that actually matters. He wants us to have each other. He surrounds us with brothers and sisters. He surrounds us with people who have the ability to speak the forgiveness of God to people. Do you know what an incredible thing that is? Because it's not just me, it's you. That you can be the ones to announce the forgiveness of God. You can be the ones to say, because of what Jesus did, you're forgiven. I mean, There's so many places where, you know, you look at what God's plan is and you think, yeah, God should have done it a little differently. You know, I mean, it's always good when you're critiquing God. That's always a good position to be in. But the thing is that sometimes you look at it and you think, God has really involved people an awful lot in this whole plan of salvation thing, right? I mean, just Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose again. Jesus earned forgiveness for all sins. Jesus paid the price for all sin. Jesus has made it possible for us to be in heaven, and then he sends us to go spread the message. I mean, who's been that person that, like, got up, walked into another room, and can't remember why you went there? Yeah? This is us in faith life, too. You know, I mean, we literally are living in this world surrounded by people who need to hear the message of God. Not just people who aren't Christian, but people who are Christian, but are still struggling to remember the forgiveness that we have in him, the value we have in him, how important we are, that Jesus died on the cross to make it possible for us to spend eternity with him, and he counted it worth it because he loves us so much. We get so distracted that we forget why we're here. Forget. We get so hung up on the to-do lists and the things that we're trying to accomplish, the goals that we've set, the interruptions that come along the way, that we forget why we're here anyway. And so God tells us this. He says, guys, your job is this: to remind each other of the forgiveness of sin. To remind each other what Jesus has done, to remind each other why we are valuable, why it is so important that we not take our eyes off of him. I'd love to be able to end the sermon there, but things get interesting then, you know? Because this whole thing starts with, you know, that whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. But what's the other half? Whatever sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven. Well, that's weird. I mean, what's Jesus about? Jesus about forgiving sin or not forgiving sin? Well, the answer is he's all about forgiving sin. But forgiving sin is not always the appropriate thing in the context. You want an example of that? Here's one. Oh, Jesus is preaching, and this is Matthew 23, and it's the seven woes. I mean, he goes over and over again. He says, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees. Woe to you teachers. He's kind of coming down kind of hard on the religious leaders of the day. And he's coming down on them because they're blind guides. They don't even understand things themselves, but they're supposed to be guiding the other people. He comes down on them because they put laws that they can't even keep in front of people and then make people feel bad about it and act as if that those people are supposed to do it when they're not even doing it. He comes down on them for a whole bunch of different things. And finally at the end, he says, you snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? What's he telling them? Are they forgiven? Well, that's harsh. That's not polite. Why wouldn't Jesus just forgive them? I mean, isn't all these things sins? So why doesn't Jesus just make it better, make it go away? It's all good. Well, let's put it this way. Where is their faith? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, where is their faith? Their faith is in their own actions. Their faith is in their own righteousness, even though their righteousness is fraudulent. It's not real. Their faith is in their being the child of Abraham, that they are one of God's chosen people. Their faith is in a whole bunch of things, but it's not so much about what their faith is in, it's what their faith is not in, which is in the Messiah. They are fighting Jesus. The people who know God's law, the people who should have been most aware and understood and recognized what Jesus was doing and how he was fulfilling the Old Testament law as is described so eloquently in Matthew and in Hebrews, that this Jesus that is like the fulfillment of all of these Old Testament prophecies that these Pharisees knew so very well, they instead did everything they could to get in Jesus' way and bog him down and try to trip him up and just... And Jesus was responding to where they are. He's saying, my friends, you're not in faith. And your not in faithness is showing itself by what you are doing, that you are fighting Jesus, you're fighting the Messiah, you're fighting the work of God. And I'm going to tell you the truth. You're in big trouble. That the forgiveness that Jesus has earned for us comes by faith. Saving faith. Faith in Jesus. And there is no other way to receive it. And so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law did not have that faith. And Jesus was honest with them and told them. So is that it? They're not forgiven. They're condemned to hell. That's the end of the story. Or do we remember some of the Pharisees who later did come to faith? Is the condemnation forever? Is Jesus just waiting until the faith comes around to the place where it needs to be? That the people knowing that they are in trouble, knowing that they are lost in their sin, knowing that they are in a really bad way with God, that their relationship is all out of whack, that they have the opportunity then to reassess and to fix things between them and God, to stop fighting God, to instead dig into his word and to receive the message of salvation that Jesus has for us and to have that saving faith by the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's God's goal. The goal is always salvation. The goal is always bringing people into the fold, forgiving sins. But it doesn't do people any good if we just lie to them. And so Jesus doesn't lie. And we, because we are servants of God, also do not lie. When we see somebody who is not living submissive to God, who is willfully disobedient, blatantly going against what God says and basically saying, I don't really care what God has to say, I want what I want, do we announce the forgiveness of sins to them? Because that's a position of not faith. Is that the end of the story then? We don't talk to them anymore? No. We keep talking to them. Because that's a precious person that God loves, that Jesus died for, that he's in heaven preparing a place for, that he wants restored to himself, and he is eagerly anticipating the restoration of that person. And so our job is to continue to love them, continue to be with them, continue to walk through life with them, to pray for them, to continue to speak to them the gospel of the message so that they have the opportunity to believe. My friends, we have a big job to do. Our job is to basically be God's hands and feet in the world, but we're also God's voice in the world. We speak his word. We speak his truth. Does that mean we have some kind of responsibility to know what that truth is? Yeah, that's a lot of responsibility, isn't it? But we also know that the Spirit goes with us. That he gives us the right words to say in the right circumstances, that he reminds us of the things in the time. But as my mom always used to tell me, God brings things to remembrance, but you got to learn it first. Right? You always pray that you're going to pass a test you didn't study for. She never let me go on that one. She's always reminding me, no, that's not the deal. So the thing is this, guys. We have a lot of work to do, and don't forget why you came. You know, don't forget why God leaves you in this world. I mean, why didn't God suck you right up into heaven as soon as you were saved? That'd be the most certain way of you not losing your faith, right? Why does he leave you in this world? Because he's got work for you to do. And so don't forget why you're here. Let us speak this message of salvation. Speak the forgiveness of sins to each other. Encourage one another. The Bible tells us as long as it is called today. So is it today? I guess we better be encouraging each other then. As long as it is called today, encourage one another. And so listen to the words of the absolution. I'll just read it. Almighty God in his mercy has given his son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, my friends, as we continue worshiping, we are going to take the offering today again. And I also want to encourage you to please record your attendance in the folders that you'll find in the pews in front of you, and please take note of the names of the people who are sitting close to you in case you don't know them, so that you can say hi after the service.
I'm coming.
Please stand as we confess our faith using the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightens me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. As we pray, we also do want to keep Mary Borg-Schulte in our prayers as well. She is still in pain and still in the hospital. Last I heard, she was planning to have surgery on Monday. Her husband was supposed to call me and give me an update, and he didn't. So I have no more updates after that. So I'll be getting in touch with them real soon and getting more. But right now, we do know that she is still hurting pretty bad, broken vertebrae and some resistant infections and stuff. So it might be coming home tomorrow. There you go. Excellent. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have brought us together as your church, Lord. People gathered around you to do your work in this world, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Encourage us through your word, Lord. Build up our faith, Lord. Give us the words to say and the opportunities to say them. Help us, Lord, to be able to do the things you need us to do, to say the things you need us to say, Lord, so that your message can go out, Lord. So that your word can be proclaimed, so that your forgiveness, Lord, can be remembered. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we do ministry in so many different ways here at St. Mark's, Lord, through our ministry to the poor, our ministry to the blind, our ministries to the youth and the children, Lord, our ministries to those who are hurting because of loss of loved ones, our so many different, to the sick, Lord, people, so many different people, Lord, that need your help. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of these people that we serve, Lord. Shore them up, Lord, help them to be able to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. We speak your truth, Lord, but your spirit is the one that makes things happen. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with the sick of our congregation, Lord, especially Mary Borg-Schulte, Lord, as she continues to recover. Pray that you would just give her healing, Lord, relieve her pain, be with Dorwood, Lord, as this is really hard on him as well. Pray that you would give us opportunities to serve them. Lord, I pray that you would be with everybody else in our congregation also who is hurting and recovering and heading towards surgery, recovering from surgery. Lord, all the different things that happen in life, Lord, we hold to you. We know that you are the one who is solid, the one who is certain in our life, the one who is with us in the good times and the bad times. Lord, let us have the peace, Lord, that only you can give. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with those who are in authority in our country. Lord, with the president, the vice president, Lord, those in Congress, the governor, the House and the Senate of our state, Lord, our own mayor, Lord, and aldermen, I pray that you would be with, Lord, all of them, all these people, Lord, that you have put in positions of authority, that they would be, Lord, able to make their decisions with wisdom, Lord. With their eyes open to the reality of the world and be able to make decisions, Lord, that will bring glory to you and serve your people. All these things we come before you and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Experience the glory of your goodness.
We have really received the body and blood of Christ, and by this gift, he gives us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. It's an amazing gift, and we can be certain of it because God promised it, and he doesn't lie. He doesn't let us down. So knowing this, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please stand as we sing the final song together.
Above all names.
My friends, have a seat. First of all, offering and attendance numbers are not in the bulletin today. Do you know why? Because Donna's out of town. Her son's getting married down in Colorado or something. Yeah, someplace down there. Anyway, and normally her backup would be the secretary. But we don't have a secretary. Donna's been both accountant and secretary for a while now, so that's been a lot. Basically, this week when Donna was gone, we don't got numbers for you, and I'm terrible sorry about that, but we will have them again next week. Let's see here, Club 457, that's another thing. We do have some announcements to make regarding personnel and people we're bringing on board here at St. Mark's. So if you want to hear more about that, stay for the family meeting. And that mean great announcements. Stick around. Anyway, with the retirement of Merv and Debbie, and then Sean taking another job, we had to do some scrambling and figuring things out. And God has provided. It's awesome. So let's see here. Club 456 begins next Sunday at noon to 1:30. Is that correct? I think that's what it says. Noon to 1:30. Club 456. That means fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. Are all going to meet in the gym, and you guys, and they have their fun. We are going to have the family meeting directly after this service. And children, there is Sunday school for them. So if you guys have kids that want to stay for the meeting and hear about all these really great personnel things, you guys can go out the back, and Lauren will take away the kiddos, and she will do fun things with them, and they will learn about Jesus. And then the last thing is that we have an email survey that's going out sometime soon. And when it hits, please do take some time and look at it and answer some questions for us. We appreciate it. It's very, very difficult to communicate with this many people, you know. So please give us a little help as we continue to plan for the future. All right? All right, my friends. God's blessings on your day. If anybody wishes individual prayer, please stop and talk to Mike Kennedy in the prayer chapel over here. And the rest of you, God's blessings on your week.